Now we're going to look today at John chapter 15, part of the what's called the final discourse of Jesus Christ when he meets with his disciples for the last time together before his crucifixion. And this is what he says to them. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts away every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, but he trims clean every branch that does produce fruit, so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already clean because of what I have said to you. Stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you. Just as a branch cannot produce fruit unless it stays joined to the vine, you cannot produce fruit unless you stay joined to me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you stay joined to me, and I stay joined to you, then you will produce lots of fruit. But you cannot do anything without me. If you don't stay joined to me, you will be thrown away. You will be like dry branches that are gathered up and burned in a fire. Stay joined to me, and let my teachings become part of you. Then you can pray for whatever you want, and your prayer will be answered. When you become fruitful disciples of mine, my Father will be honored. I have loved you just as my Father has loved me. So remain faithful to my love for you. If you obey me, I will keep loving you just as my Father keeps loving me, because I have obeyed him. I have told you this to make you as completely happy as I am. Now I tell you, love each other as I have loved you. The greatest way to show love for friends is to die for them. And you are my friends if you obey me. Servants don't know what their master is doing, and so I don't speak to you as my servants. I speak to you as my friends, and I have told you everything that my Father has told me. You did not choose me. I chose you and sent you out to produce fruit, the kind of fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. So I command you to love each other. Can you move on just to the next slide, please? There we are. When we were in Corfu and went out for a walk, we were passing a garden wall, and just above that wall, we saw bunches and bunches and bunches of red grapes. Very tempting to reach out and help yourself to a bunch of them. And the bunches were on the vine. When you look at the vine, there is nothing necessarily attractive about the grapevine as a plant or as a tree. What is attractive about it is what grows from it. And you wouldn't necessarily have a vine in your garden because it wouldn't add in any way aesthetically to the appearance of the garden if it did not have the grapes growing on it. And in a sense, we forget in our own culture that what Jesus was talking about was something that was fundamentally important to people in his day. And that is that whatever they planted, they didn't just plant for appearance, but in order to survive. And so a good crop of grapes meant wine, which was a source of income. And everything that was planted was intended to help the people survive. We very often just plant in our garden because we love to have a beautiful garden. Not to survive. We don't need to plant to survive. And so we can plant simply for appearance. But other parts of the world in which we live, people plant because it's important that the ground produces in order that they can live from it. And so when Jesus was talking about fruit, he was talking about something that was fundamental. The people would immediately have understood that a vine that grew nothing would be of absolutely no value to them and absolutely no use. They wouldn't say, "What a beautiful plant that is," if it was not producing something that enabled them to have a cash crop that enabled them to survive. Because the majority of people in that culture at that time lived week to week, day to day, unlike most of us. Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." The two things are linked together. They are not separate from one another. They need one another in order to produce the fruit. The vine does not produce the fruit without the branches. The branches cannot produce the fruit without the vine. There is a logic to that. The two belong together. And what he's saying to his disciples is that we need him in order to be fruitful. He needs us in order to show that fruit to the world. Now, I think there are two things there that are fundamental. And we'll start with the first logical one. And that is that we need him. We need him. We need a source of power and energy and inspiration that is beyond our capabilities as fallen human beings in order to live the kind of life that God says he wants us to live. We need him. And it is the great fault of every Christian who has ever lived that they don't see that as clearly as they should. We just don't see it. We just don't get it. We just don't grasp it. Neither did the disciples. The disciples didn't get it either. And if you look at the history of the church, you see that that's exactly the same from the time of Jesus right through to the present time. Generally, we don't get it. Or rather, generally, we don't do it. And the way, for instance, that we read our Bibles is a bit like this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you look at that and think, I must try harder to do this. I must really put effort into doing this. Laudable, absolutely laudable. That we take that command of Jesus and that we have that thought in our heads in the first place. But Jesus would be standing there beside us, shaking his head and going like this, "You just don't get it, do you? It takes both of us together to be able to do that. And you can't do it on your own, because the harder you try, the more impossible you will find it to do. And so what Jesus is saying to us is, as we set off into our day, as we set off on our faith journey, as we set off to go in to school or to the office or to our workplace or wherever it is in our home, that Jesus is saying to us, you and I together can achieve what you cannot achieve on your own. You need me. You need to connect with me through prayer. You need to connect with me through trust, through remaining, abiding, staying close to me in order to make this happen. Or it won't work. I have an apology to make to one or two of you here today, because you will have heard this illustration before. Please don't close your ears to it, but I want to use it again because I think for me it was very, very important. And that was, again, when we were in Corfu. And when we were in Corfu, we went to a wee taverna that was on our beach. We called it our beach because there was nobody else on that beach but us in the last week of the season. And we met this woman from Drumchapel in Glasgow who worked in this taverna. Amazing that you could meet a Glaswegian in a taverna. And I think the only reason she kept it open to feed us was because that's where we were. And when we were eating our meal one night, the waitress came down and said to the girls, come and see a cat and her kittens down beside a tree. Well, the girls were interested, but so was I. And it was more interested in our food and continued to eat. And we ran to the wall to see this cat and her kittens. And as soon as our three heads appeared over the wall, two of the kittens disappeared. They just saw these three big faces and ran for it. And they ran to the nearest tree, and then the wee heads popped up and they looked at us from a safe distance of at least 20 or 30 feet. But one kitten didn't. Cat wasn't fazed by us at all. Cats there are used to human beings and know they don't feel threatened by them. So the cat just looked at us and said, oh, it's just three of them, you know, and it was not fazed by that at all. But the one that remained and stood by her mother did this. She looked at us, and then she looked at her mum, and then she looked at us, and then she looked at her mum. And she did this all the time. And she inherently trusted her mum because she felt safe with her, even from us. The other two were, they were away. She just, and the funny thing about it was she was the identical in colourings to her mother. Sure, that had nothing to do with it. But she just stayed right there close to her mum, and she just was not fazed by the fact that we were there. And when I thought about that just trust that she had, and it was a trust because she knew her mother's presence and she felt sure of her mother's protection, she never moved from where she was. And I wondered about this passage when I thought about what I was seeing. And as I wondered about this passage, I just thought, well, maybe that's how it has to be with us. If we keep our focus on Jesus, then we will get through whatever it is that we have to get through. Because as we focus on him, we clearly understand what his will is. As we focus on him, we start to hear words that come filtering through to us about forgiveness, and we start to hear words that come filtering through to us about do not be afraid. We start to hear words filtering through to us, be calm, be at peace, I'm in control. That wee kitten wouldn't have stood where it was if its mother hadn't been there. But the assurance is from Jesus, I'm always here. I'm always here. And don't try to do it without me. Be like the branch in the vine, grafted in. Abide in me. But Jesus is also saying something else here. Something I think that we don't often think about in here. And that is, he's saying, I can't do it without you. Right. Accuse me of heresy if you want here, right? But I think that that's partly what he's saying. This world will know who I am by you showing them, by the way you live your life, who I am. And if my life flows through you, and that fruit shows, the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, if it flows through you, then the world will see what I'm like. And I need you to be able to do that. I need you to need me. And in your needing me and staying close to me and abiding in me, you will show the world what I'm like. It's a matter of integration and cooperation and oneness with Jesus Christ. Our world needs Jesus. But it needs people to show them Jesus. Paul himself said that. He said the world needs to hear the message. But how can they hear the message unless people show them, tell them the message? In other words, it needs you to do that. And it needs me to do that as well. Think about it, for instance, those of us who work with younger people, whether in Guides or in JAM or in Scouts or wherever, or near cadets. How are they going to know what Jesus is like unless they see something of it in you? Because many of them don't go to church. Many of them don't come from Christian homes. And maybe before we go to take that night with them, just a wee prayer. Help me. Help me just to show these young people what Jesus is like. Or maybe in the office. Or maybe working with particularly difficult people. Or maybe the people we work with who are particularly difficult people. How will they know unless they see something different? Unless they see fruit? They'll never see it perfectly, of course. They can't. We can't be perfect. And the fruit might be more ripe in certain places than in others. But they can see the beginnings of it, because when you look at the grapes in a vine, you're not necessarily looking at the grapes that are ready to be picked, but you are seeing that there is something growing there that will one day be ready to be picked. And that's what's important. Jesus isn't asking perfection of us. He's not pointing us in that direction. He's simply asking that there is evidence that the fruit is growing. Linda was teaching her class on Thursday about Scottish Christianity. And she was coming here to meet with the moderator on for lunch, and she was trying to explain to the kids who the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland was, something that every child in Buckhaven instantly connects with and knows. So eventually, after a wee bit into the lesson, some of them tried to write a definition of it. And one boy, Toby, wrote this definition here. And the moderator wants this framed, by the way, in its original. He was actually saying to me last night, where's my thing? Where is it? He said he was wanting it. Moderator, it says here, someone that has a bit of power, but they're not the real boss. Here's a good definition for the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. Someone that has a bit of power, but they're not the real boss. Maybe that's what Jesus was saying to us here. You have something, but you're not the one that has everything. And you need to connect with the one that has everything. And then you will truly abide in me and show fruit. Lord, be with us in all that we seek to do this week in your name. Bless each of us in our lives as we live them out in faith. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.